Okay, here we'll try it again. Now that we lost everybody here, but it'll be online for the brave souls out there. Jeremiah chapter 16. Let's get going before this thing all falls apart again. People don't hear scriptures anymore. They just don't hear Bible. It's all talk. It's all teachings. It's either they follow Reckman, or they follow Hiles, or they follow David Cloud, or they follow Knox, or Calvin. They follow a person somewhere, which is exactly what Jude 16 says they're going to do in the tribulation, follow personalities. No Bible authority with people these days. Okay, here we go. Speaking of biblical authority, I even quoted Jeremiah a couple of times today. So why trimmest thou thy ways to seek love? That's what people are doing. And they kind of stammered at that. Whoa, like this guy knows Bible. No, and just read it once in a while. You might learn something. Here we go. Jeremiah chapter 16. Continuing now, we're going to pick things up. I said it earlier here. Put a smile on. There we go. Sound is good. Here we go. Now, this morning we did Jeremiah, and the question was, why are things going the way they are when I'm trying to be the good Christian? Jeremiah whined. Boy, he's a good whiner, isn't he? He's just a good whiner. And we'll see some more of that tonight. So tonight's question that's asked is in Jeremiah chapter 16. And this is what people are going to be asking. If a person says they're saved, they're born again, or they were born as a Christian, like these election people, and things really hit hard, called the tribulation, and they're still in it, that sort of a thing, then they're going to ask this question. Verse 10. Chapter 6, let me jump down to verse 10, because he goes and talks more about what it's going to be like in the tribulation there. Sons and daughters born in this place, mothers that bear them, die grievous deaths in verse 4, shall not be lamented, they won't be buried, dung upon the face of the earth. I mean, you read through this thing, this is terrible. The tribulation is going to be a terrible time, because it's worse than this. So we get to verse 10, and here's the question they finally ask. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, whoops, wherefore, yeah, there we go, it's in there, sorry, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? There's the question these people are going to ask. What have we done wrong? I've been to church all my life. Matter of fact, I was born a Christian, I thought. And they've been to Bible college. They've been part of all these organizations, these religious organizations. And going to church, you know, dressing good, at least the men do anyway, more than I can say for most women, even in the denominational crowd. They're going to ask you, what have we done to deserve this? I thought I was saved. I did. See, they want to have something to do with their salvation. The fact that this grandpa couldn't get over the fact that Paul says all things are lawful, Christ paid for everything, and he couldn't handle that. What's there not to handle? That's the only way it can be. I told them about the Spirit of God upon their flesh in the tribulation. They'll have to walk the walk. We have it separated, all this kind of stuff. And, man, I would think that'd just be a marvelous message. I guess it isn't to people. So when the Lord comes down on them, and the Gentiles, what few will be left that really do have the goodness of God through Paul's teachings, the God of peace, and all this stuff starts to happen to them, they're going to ask, what have we done? What sin have we committed? Yeah, you haven't never trusted in the real Lord. You have another Jesus. I should have brought that one up today. So, you know, it's an odd thing. Why does God get the blame when things don't go right? Like, what did we do to deserve this? In other words, it's God's fault here. It's God being too harsh with his punishment. What have I done? I mean, me. I couldn't have done anything wrong. So why are you, like a parent, why are you doing this to me? No, I'm not doing this to you, son. You brought this upon yourself. So, Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 again. Listen, God is not going to hammer anybody, lost or saved, with judgment until the white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, and this kid, this election kid, thought they were both the same thing. So it was going downhill after that. He gave us the book. We've got the answers in this book. 1 Corinthians 13:10 tells me that all that knowledge we need to know is in this book. It's not in a bunch of books, and it's not in religious opinion. It's in this book. So the answer for that question, why would God do this to me? What have I done wrong? Is in verse 11. Here we go. Then thou shalt say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Welcome to the tribulation. Accept grace, and accept in Revelation 3, where he says, to those who I love, I will chasten. He will try to get him back on the line. So it's still different than it was in Jeremiah's day. But for us as Christians today, why is God doing this to me? Well, partner, God isn't doing that to you. You are reaping what you sowed, or you are just wrong in your religion, and it's not God's fault, and we're just doing things that happen. And God is letting it happen. You know, let's go back 3 years. Why did this happen to you? Let's go back 3 years. I'll tell you why it happened to you today. You shouldn't have been doing, that kind of a thing. So, we've got Paul's grace, or the grace of Jesus Christ through Paul's teachings. And we better be thankful that we don't have to worry about God telling us that. There's no excuse in the world to be caught in the tribulation these days. He gave us a book that describes it all. And follow Paul, you won't be in it. So, that's just a quick run through of chapter 16. I mean, that's the question is asked, what have we done wrong? And God tells them. And you know, you go back at that chapter 16, verse 11 again, your fathers have forsaken me. Well, what have we fathers taught to our young children? We've probably taught them the Great Commission if we taught them anything. And so, we get this thing figured out, and they're not interested. Yeah, that's too bad. And yeah, you are doing worse than your fathers today. At least we were trying to do something Bible-wise. They're not even trying that anymore. They walked after other gods. Money, self, family can be your god. Children, your job can be your god. It goes on. And to serve them, these gods, and to worship them. And not kept my law. We're not talking about keeping the law. Christ took care of that for us. But we're not keeping what Paul taught us. Now, we're not going to get God's judgment, but our works are going to get judged with a fire. But we're not going to be. So it still is a joy to be a Christian today. But are we Christians? And you've done worse than your fathers. You walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart. That's religious thinking right there. They think they're doing right. Pop some scriptures at them. Oh, are you a hyper? No. I just look at my Bible and I read it as is. King James Bible, da-da-da-da. So it's crazy. Chapter 17, here we go. Like I said, we're going to kind of move on quicker here because we've seen a tribulation in this thing. To know that that's the terror of the Lord right there. That's earthly life, let alone hell, forever, eternity. Okay, so here we are. Good to see Peter and Floyd's there, though, by the way. Here we go, chapter 17. Just some key verses. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. That's applicable. It's not written to us, it's written to the Jews at the time, but it sure does fit, doesn't it? I put our trust in man? Well, I'm trusting Jesus Christ. No, you're not. You're trusting in Dr. Reckman. You're trusting in Dr. Hiles. You're trusting in Landmark Baptist College. You're trusting in Dave Cloud's encyclopedia. You're trusting whatever somebody else teaches. That's who you're trusting. You're not trusting the Bible. You're trusting somebody who's teaching you that Bible. You better not be trusting me either. I'm just trying to show you the book and you go from there. Look at verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Well, I don't know. Things looking pretty tough. Pretty big drought out there. I mean, you would think somebody would have enjoyed what we talked about. There's a drought. There's a famine of the we're hearing the word of God coming up here pretty quick. And so how is it? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Well, the risen Savior, through Paul, will tell us how to be encouraged, how to have confidence, how to have a joy amongst all this garbage. And I'll tell you what, I have a hard time with that sometimes. I've got the confidence, but the joy, I get irritated. I get frustrated. That's my flesh. I should just have the grace. Speak to them with grace, with a little salt in there, which is what I think I did today. But did it get anywhere? I don't know. I guess it's like a farmer planting the seed in some hard ground. You got to plow up the ground first, plant the seed. Then you don't even see the green stuff sticking out of the ground for a while. I would not have made a good farmer. I know that. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, but see, now we got people today all over religion. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the godliness without the power thereof. These people think that God's telling their heart what's going on here. So they follow their heart. They follow their feelings. I'm sorry, but we still have a wicked and deceitful heart. We're separated from our flesh. We're separated from these things. We fight the spirit and the mind all the time. The flesh and the mind all the time. In Galatians and with Paul in Romans chapter 7. We can't go by our heart. Yeah, we have to have our heart into this thing, meaning that we really care. Yeah, our heart's involved with that. But we can't trust our heart. And that's what everybody's doing today. God will speak to us, not through this Bible, but God will speak to us. And speak to me through the preacher, the pastor. No, he'll speak to us through this Bible. You guys know that. Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We're not tested and tempted by God today. That's another difference there, see? He's not trying to arrange. He's allowing us to grow. But he also tells us what to do to grow. He tells us how to build on that foundation through Paul, written down. Get into the book, and we can see what God would have us do. Trying the reins? Well, how many have failed already? We've all failed somewhere along the line here. But Christ hasn't changed anything. He hasn't imputed anything. He says, get up and keep going. This is a special time. I try to get these folks to realize that the Old Testament and the Gospels and Hebrews through Jude are the same thing. Paul's time was totally different. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall... Oh, I'm sorry, verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Well, that's true. Did he heal us physically? Not at all. Did he heal us spiritually? You bet he did. Of course he did. Learn that from Paul. Spiritual blessings. Our soul is holy without blame. Our walk isn't. Our flesh isn't. But he'll fix that too in the judgment seat. We know in the Old Testament that their faith is what they had to count on. Their faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, I think it is. Verse 15. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. I'm sorry, folks. We've been trying to tell you that for years. And now that it's tribulation time, there's a famine of it. Where's it at? I don't know. Well, first of all, I'm not going to be there to answer that question. But, you know, if I was the little guy in a tree or something, I don't know where it's at. It's a famine of it. Where are you going to hear it at? I don't know. It's not available. It's there somewhere, but you got to search to find it. So, it's a little late, don't you think? Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Okay, what about people today? Where is the word of the Lord today? Where is God in my life? He's right here. I tell you, they just fight this book all the way through. Verse 18, let them be confounded that persecute me. But let not me be confounded. Well, stay in the book. It's hard. I mean, I heard a couple of things. It's frustrating. Sometimes you want to just and go someplace else. No, you got to stay in the book. So, they can be confounded if they want. We don't need to be. He says, let them be dismayed. But let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. Well, we don't hear Paul praying like that necessarily. There's one place he talks about let them reap their works. But otherwise, Paul cared enough for them to try to get people to see the truth up until the time he died. So there's still a difference there. But yet, that tribulation's coming. And I've said to myself about people, listen, they don't want this book. They don't want to talk to me about it. They don't want to hear the joy of what Christianity is. Like I said today, people are missing the joy of what Christ really did for us. It's beyond understanding, really. You don't want to hear that? You don't want to believe that? You want to think you were born saved? Kid, have at it. Your tribulation is going to be the worst it's ever been. I would suggest you read Jeremiah and Lamentations to see how bad it was in the physical kingdom when Nebuchadnezzar took over. I mean, these mothers were eating their children. And it's going to be worse in the tribulation. You think you can handle that? Have at it. I'm okay with that. So that's kind of how I go with that stuff. And that isn't necessarily the way we're supposed to be. Well, I just explained to you that I am not perfect. Ha ha. In case you thought I was. Right. Well, look at verse 21, Jeremiah 17, verse 21. I closed my book up for some reason, I guess. Wave the answer back to people, I guess. Jeremiah 17, verse 21. Now, here we go. Anybody a Sabbath keeper out there when you watch this thing someday? Sabbath keepers, take a look. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. Neither don't even take the garbage out if you want to go that way, that thing. Neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, made their necks stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And if it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do nor work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David. In other words, you keep the Sabbath and God will bless you. That's what he's saying. And this town back in Washington, Seventh-day Adventist town, they all live in pretty nice houses. Well, yeah, but it's, you know, they got jobs. And they take care of themselves. Good for them. They're better than most Christians. But that doesn't make it right. Godliness is not gain. And that teaching is certainly not gain. If you guys think you're actually keeping the Sabbath holy, come on. Just crazy. Verse 27, it just keeps going on there. But if thou wilt not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. So if you don't honor the Sabbath day, like we don't, then this is why God's hammering us. Well, that's not happening. Why not? Romans chapter 2. God is not hammering his Christians. He doesn't expect us to do the Sabbath. Read Colossians 2:16 there, Mr. Sabbath Keeper. Why isn't God hammering us then as the Sabbath Keepers? Again, Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, God's not going to hammer anybody. This is a dispensation of grace. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And if you only want to reject the goodness of God, have your choice. You're not going to know about it until you die. Then you're going to realize what you did wrong. You rejected the goodness of God. That's what you did wrong. That's Jesus Christ as Savior, God's goodness. Anyway, there you go. Chapter 18. Let's keep going here. Chapter 18. Now we got the potter house, the potter's house. You know, it says in there, I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in at the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it. And, you know, it goes on, that kind of a thing there, down to 10 and all that stuff. Talking about the nation, take the Jews, you're going to... How many people think God is on the potter's wheel and God's manipulated? You know, if you're not into your Bible, you're being manipulated and formed by the devil. Ministers of righteousness, making you believe what you believe, making you live the way you are, making you have the fear of God, making you have the guilt of God and all the stuff that you're doing wrong. That's manipulating people into these modern Christians. The potter's house is the King James Bible today. You get into that book, and yeah, Christ in, where's that verse? He says, being confident of this very thing, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Sure he will. But he's going to do it through Paul's teachings. Paul's the master builder. Where are you going to get Paul's teachings? King James Bible. Ah. What we got here? T.G. Jakes in Dallas calls his church the potter's house. Well, sure, he probably figures he's the potter. God will operate through him. Oh, yeah. I tell you, a final authority of a single Bible, rightly divided, it does. The simplicity that's in Christ is just an amazing thing. And people just want to go on to their religion. They want to go on to their life. They want to go on to their church. They want to go on to things. They like it this way, I guess, according to Jeremiah. But... And none of us have got it together. We know that. None of us have attained. But we know where to go. And we know we got the judgment seat coming. We know there's going to be a lot of smoke, not much fire, because most of that stuff that goes through the fire is going to come out, jewels and stones and gold and precious stones and silver. And a lot of wood and hay stubble burning in ours these days. And we ought to have all the good stuff come on about, because we know exactly what we ought to be doing. Tough. Flesh and spirit. Flesh and mind. Okay, chapter 18, verse 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Doesn't that sound familiar? They say there is no hope. No, there can't be a rapture coming up. No, there can't be. There can't be the fact that Christ doesn't impute any of our sins. Come on, you can't imagine. All things are lawful? No, it can't be. Where's your hope? Where's your joy and hope of what Christ has done for us today? You walk after your own devices. That's called religion, if you want to follow spiritual devices. TV, videos. I get hammered on that stuff again. We will everyone do the imagination of our evil heart. Follow that heart again. Can we follow our heart with Paul and with risen Christ? We got the mind of Christ. Yeah, we got it right here. Wait, which cam am I looking at? I got some bulls over there. Okay, not that anybody has a cam out there, but that's amazing stuff here. People today are losing hope all over the place. They don't think that there's going to be a rapture. They really think that they're going to go through this government that Obama's going to set up. It's hard. It's going to get worse. But are we going to go through the actual tribulation of it? There's no way. Just rightly dividing the scriptures, the books, there's no way. So these people have experienced the modern folly of modern Christianity. Right? Paul talks about that. And about that, not that, but talks about that. And godliness without the power thereof. That folly is being made manifest. People are losing their hope. Their hope is in the book. Their hope is in Jesus Christ, of course. But how do you find out about that hope? In your King James Bible. Paul, rightly dividing. What better hope there is to see than what Paul has taught us? You want to follow Peter? Have at it. But there's going to be some persecution and some hammering from God with Peter. You want to go after the Gospels? Go for it. But you have to sell everything you got and follow Christ. You want to go to the Old Testament? You got to follow the law. I can handle the Ten Commandments, so how about the Levitical Commandments? Why don't you try to follow those? And you want to do like Adam and Eve? You probably are, letting your wife do everything. So that's probably the same thing already. We got that going on. No, Paul's the one to follow here. That's where the hope is at. Hope. There's no hope in religion. Boy, isn't the Pope getting hammered right now? And how many years have we known from chick comics about all this homosexual stuff going on as a priest and all this stuff going with priests and nuns? How many years have we heard that preach from these guys? Now it's coming out in the press, and does anybody care? Not really. I mean, they're making a big fuss about it, but not that. Everybody's still got millions and millions and millions of Catholic followers. Okay, chapter 18, verse 15. I lost my place again here. I probably should put something in there. Jeremiah 18, verse 15 here. Let's see what we got there. 18, verse 15. Here we go. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths to walk in paths in a way not cast up. I like how he says things. Burned incense to vanity. You're worshiping yourself. You light the little incense, you know, and it's for you. You're worshiping yourself. Caused them to stumble in their ways. Modern Christianity is causing everybody to stumble. It's just crazy. And Paul following Christians are causing people to stumble now. Everybody's going back to the Demas-following world. You know, they love this present world. And to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Yeah, what's the way we're supposed to walk? Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, sure he is. But it's the risen Jesus we're talking about, not the gospel Jesus. Why is that so hard for people to get? Here we are on Ishtar Day. Everybody's out there thanking the Lord for the food they had today and the fact that he was risen, all this kind of stuff. And yet they ignore the teachings of he said when he was risen. Weird, huh? Look at verse 18. Then said they, come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Sure, they don't mind having us around, but they don't want to hear what we have to say if what we're saying is from this King James rightly divided Paul, following risen Savior living Bible. And look at that. They devise devices against him. They're not going to listen to what he has to say. The priest isn't going to stop talking what he's talking about. The wise is going to continue their counsel, and the prophets are going to continue profiting, and the preachers are going to continue preaching. So what have you got to say, Jeremiah? What have you got to say, Mark, Hugh, Peter, Paulson? What have you got to say? Give me some words. No, we're not going to give heed to those words. My pastor's telling me the truth. What, you can't look in your Bible? Let me show you something in your Bible. So it's words we're talking about here. Chapter 18, look at verse 19. Verse 19, it says here, Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye, read a King James Bible, people, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. Oh, I read this one already here. What are we talking about? Okay, 19 to 23. So anyway, I guess we've been over this here. I got down my notes. What a hard prayer from Jeremiah. Oh, duh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Ah, there we go. That helps. I'm on 17. 18. Now let's go backtrack here. Chapter 18, verse 19. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Here we go. Now Paul's, Jeremiah's praying here. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. And let their wives be bereaved of their children, and be widows. And let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from the house their houses, when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Wow, what a prayer. Jeremiah is really praying that God hit him hard. And God will hit him hard, but not during these days. So what do you need to pray that? Paul doesn't tell us to pray like that. The goodness of God will lead people to repentance today. And when the goodness of God won't lead people to repentance and they're not interested in the goodness of God, Romans chapter 11, verse 22 says, the nation's out of here. When it gets to that point, seems to me to be getting pretty close to that based on that. Even the Paul guy's got things mixed up. So vengeance is still God's job, not ours. Look at Lamentations chapter 4, right after Jeremiah. Jump over to Lamentations chapter 4 here. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 10. Look what's coming up for people that even have children during the tribulation. You know, and I really don't think people are going to think necessarily they're in the tribulation. Well, yeah, there's a lot of things going on in nature, but that's just nature, you know. Somebody made the gods angry today, and they're going to be happy with the government. They're going to be happy with the welfare system they got. They're going to be happy with the money the way it is. No, take Mark. Are they going to know this stuff? They're going to be happy with it. So the poor people that have children, verse 10, the hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. What a horrible thing. And Matthew 24, 21 says, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's going to be worse than Jeremiah and Lamentations. Terrible, huh? That's chapter 19. Here, look at chapter 19. A couple more verses here. Look at verse 4. Because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burnt incense in it unto other gods, which people are doing. They're not following the King James Bible. They're not following Paul. They're not interested in the risen Savior's teaching, so they're not hearkening to him. Whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah in it unto other, and filled this place with the blood of innocents. There's one, blood of innocents. The children. What do they know? How are they supposed to figure this stuff out? They can't. They certainly don't get it in Sunday school today. The parents certainly don't teach it to them because they let the Sunday school teachers do it for them. Aren't we a mess? We're just a mess. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. So they destroy the children. We're destroying the children already today. They know nothing about modesty. They know nothing about music. They know nothing about right and wrong. They know nothing about anything. But they truly don't know that this Bible is the Word of God. And if they do, it's too hard to read because it's in King James English. And it's the easiest Bible to read, written for 5th and 6th grade level. contrary to what the bookstores say, this Bible has more one and two syllable words than any other Bible. It's the easiest Bible to read. Now, understanding may be different, but it's the easiest one to read. Understanding will come when Christ lets you see it. Verse 13, chapter 19, verse 13. And the house of Jerusalem, houses of Jerusalem, and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burnt incense unto all the host of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. That's what we're doing today, same thing. College gods, professor gods, pastoral gods, church gods, money gods, pleasure gods, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 14, then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. Didn't work, did it? No, and the goodness of God is Paul's message, not the judgment, not the fear of God, the goodness of God. And they don't want that either. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Chapter 20. We'll finish up in chapter 20 here. Look at verse 2. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, there's even more. I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon. And there thou shalt die, and shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. Don't mess with me, Pashur. I'm going to put God on you like you've never imagined. We don't have that message today. We've got the goodness of God, the joy, the hope, the peace. And once you get that stuff, then we got the message about movies and modesty and talking and ladies and men and roles and their families. And we've got all that stuff to deal with. But it's not, if we don't do those things, we won't get the wrath of God upon us. It'll burn up in the judgment seat of Christ, but we won't. There is still a different message from Jeremiah than what Paul has and what we have today. But still, if they reject Paul's teachings and come up with another Jesus, or reject it all, they've got the tribulation coming. So yes, that part of the message is real. And they've got a tribulation coming that is worse than what you read about in Jeremiah. Where are we at here? 20 verse, what do we got here? Look at verse, I thought I had that, but anyway, it's just a comment I got on my notes about Jeremiah. Listen, you mess with me, Jeremiah. You mess with me, Pastor, and God's going to get you. See, we got pastors teaching that today. You mess with me, I'm your pastor, and God will get you. They can only get that from Hebrews 13:7-17. Obey the pastor. He's the man. You know, touch not the anointed. Don't talk to him. Don't mess with me. Don't criticize me. Come on. I've got it all together. So there's that immunity from pastors today. That's not right. It's not right at all. Show them the book. And then we see Jude 16, where it talks about personalities. Let's finish up with verse 7. Jeremiah, this is why I talked about Jeremiah, is a really good whiner. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. See, Jeremiah is just as guilty, blaming God. And I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. Yeah, well, of course God is. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. That's a good whine. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm done. I'm not going to tell people about God. I'm not going to tell people about God's judgment. I'm done. I've had it. I'm tired of it. People daily reproach me, and I'm just tired of it. I want to have some friends. I don't want to be an enemy. The more I love, the less I'm loved. Paul talks about that. And we get tired of that stuff. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. This is one of my favorite verses over all these years. Jeremiah tried to quit, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. There's just too much in him to tell him what's going to happen to these people. Well, do we get tired, want to quit? Sure we do. We're trying to talk to people who don't believe the King James Bible, don't believe in following Paul. They believe that Jesus Christ rose and is coming again, but they're missing all this goodness of God stuff. And they're being scared by their pastors about this fear this, fear that. If you don't tithe, God's going to get you. If you don't do this, God will get you. You lost your job because it's something you said at work. You need money. You know, that's not the message we're supposed to be preaching. So it's hard to quit. I went to this thing today, and there were like at least 30 people in there. And I thought, oh, there's going to be no Bible conversation coming out of this crowd. That's not going to happen. Well, it happened. Wasn't my plan. I tried to be quiet as long as I could, waiting for the right moment or something. I had to say something pretty soon. These guys were just teaching lies. And they believe in themselves. Well, something had to be said. By the time we were done, Grandpa's mad at me. Who knows what the host and hostess thought about that whole deal? Who knows? Will this insurance guy come around? Will he see what I'm talking about? And maybe somebody from within the family? Oh, wait a minute. Christ's very clear. A man in his own family, prophet in his own home, his own kin, has no honor from his kin, his own family. So if anybody in that family gets this stuff, I said to Dave, you can forget about family thinking you're good. That's just the way it works. Something, isn't it? So Jeremiah tries to blame God, verses 7 through 9. Part of verse 9, he tries to quit. Then we get it, but he can't. Verse 10, for I heard the defaming of many. Fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. You tell me something, I'll tell everybody else. All my familiars watch for my halting. Halting is trip up. Saying, peradventure, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. How many people look at us and try to trip us up, and they say, listen, we can trip him up. We can entice them. Here, drink this. Here, have this. Here, do this. Put a little pressure on there, and you'll be enticed, and you'll trip. And it says, we shall prevail against them. There's people out there that are convinced they can prevail against you, or me, or anybody out there. They're convinced they can prevail against you, or they quit. But they don't quit, because they know they're going to win. That's why I get so stirred, even when we do trip up, and we do have a halting. We know that people just jump on that thing. And just makes your testimony that much less believable when we give in to their enticing and to their meanness and their pressure. And we think, well, if we give in, it'll be better. How many times have you given in and it was good for a couple of days and now it's worse? Come on, we got to fight this stuff eventually here. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble. And they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. So it'll happen to them eventually. We know that. But like Paul says, I don't want it to happen to them. Well, we don't want it to happen to them. I've got some people I do want it to happen to them. But I shouldn't want that. What they're doing within the home is just dastardly, brutish, wrong as can be. And that's where it's going. And then lastly here, the last set of verses here, verse 14. Here's the good wine. This is good now. Then we'll be done here. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day when my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew, and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore I came forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. That is a good wine. But he's wrong. Jeremiah, you know, he got his reward at the end. So, but we get that way, don't we? Sometimes we say, we'd have been better off dead. No, that's not true. Unless you believe the gospel is out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Unless you believe want to go through the tribulation. Yeah, you're going to wish you were dead in the tribulation. But why would you want to wish you're dead today? Things are tough. Remember this morning's verse? If you can't run to the horseman, what are you going to do when the whole river swells up? If you think things are tough now, give it a couple weeks. If you're having a hard time now with your status within your home, wait till it gets harder. Wait till it gets harder. And we have a different message than Jeremiah has, although his message is about rejecting the voice of the Lord. Paul's message is the same thing, but different context. We've got God's grace. We've got God's joy. There will be no more forsaken. There will be no chastisement. There is no judgment except on our works in the judgment seat of Christ. But we still feel like Jeremiah very often, very alone, all by yourself, trying to tell somebody something that they don't want to hear. So there you go. There you have it.